personally been greatly encouraged in the studies over the last several weeks of just the topical study that we've been looking at in these character qualities of hope, love, joy, and today peace. All important characteristics, character traits, fruit that we should be seeing in the life, in our lives as believers, because of what Christ has done. Because of Jesus stepping out of heaven and coming to earth, out of his great love, sacrifice. Thank you. And so I hope this morning, again, we will be encouraged by what we have the privilege of enjoying in this life. When I say we, it's again speaking of the church, the body of Christ. This is what we should be enjoying. It's ours, and it's not dependent upon you. Ultimately, it's not dependent upon circumstances. And so we're going to be looking at that this morning. The world is clamoring and longing for peace, and it has been doing it kind of from the onset of creation, has it not? Longing for things to be brought back into right relationship and for there to be something that is just not had without Christ. Unfortunately, as we discussed even last week with regards to joy, people are longing for happiness and joy, and there's only one place to find it. This morning, there is only one place that we can find peace, and it's not going to come through our government. It's not going to come through leaders of any sort. It's not going to come to this earth as we think of it to be. It takes me back to when you think of Christ entering into Jerusalem and what it was that they were longing for. They were wanting peace. They were wanting freedom from Roman rule. And they were longing for this ruler to come in and to bring them that kind of peace. And that's what's taking place today. We're always looking for peace that will never be had here on earth, at least on this side of eternity. And so this is an exciting topic. It's a great reminder for us. I just want to take a few moments. Webster Dictionary says that peace is this: a state of tranquility or quiet, as freedom from civil disturbance, or as a state of security or order within a community provided for by law or custom, or as freedom from disquieting and oppressive thoughts or emotions, harmony in personal relations, a state or period of mutual concord between governments, a pact or agreement to end hostilities between those who have been at war or in a state of enmity. Used interjectly to ask for silence or calm, or as a greeting or farewell. So some of these are close to hitting the mark, for sure, but many of them, again, are the world's definition of what peace is. Biblical peace is well-being, contentment, and wholeness produced through an abiding faith in and relationship with God. And I want to stress that, again, it is dependent upon, first and foremost, the one who gives the peace, right? It's ours, and yes, right living, having a desire to honor and to worship Him, to walk in step with Him, is a part of being able to experience that peace in a very real way as a believer. But we're going to see the giver of this peace, right? Peace does not mean that you will have no troubles. Peace means that God's provision of His presence will lighten the stress those troubles produce. Peace is the umbrella in the storm. It's the calming nerves and covering you from the results of worry. Peace comes through prayer and also through keeping your mind fixed on the truth of God's Word. Peace is the order and calm the Holy Spirit brings into the life of a believer despite external circumstances. A great synopsis, Tony Evans, kind of his synopsis of peace. As Isaiah says, the unsaved, those caught in the weight of their sin, have no peace. Let's remember that, again, as mentioned and stressed last week with regards to being frustrated with those in the world today whom have no joy, and if they have no Savior, if they haven't trusted in Christ, they will never be able to experience that joy and for it to be the motivation for their life. The joy of the Lord, the joy of knowing the Lord and walking in His truth is our strength. They have no idea about that. They do not know. And it's no different. They will never experience our peace that we enjoy unless they come to know Christ as Savior. An important thing for us to remember. Isaiah 59 says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God." And this is really a beautiful picture of the unsaved, right? Us coming into the world as unsaved, lost people. Your sins have hidden your face from have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice, no one pleads his case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments and speak lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats the eggs, their eggs will die, and when one is broken, an adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are evil thoughts. Ruin and destruction mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have no turn. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks in them will know peace. And that's really a synopsis of the world. They will never know the peace of God without Christ. It's humbling, isn't it? When you think about what we enjoy, and of course, I've got to go back to kind of what Randy mentioned earlier about this book of what if we really recognize what we have, should we not be overflowing with joy and with peace in our heart in a world in which we live? I would just share this, visiting with Bev yesterday, and as we were heading to Grand Island, and it just blessed my heart to hear Bev's synopsis of her life at this moment. And she, you know, she had a little blurb of something go on and confusion and so on. And anyway, she went to the hospital all is well, and they really don't know what happened. And she says, you know, maybe she thinks back years ago when she was at Gordon, Tony and Bev were there. She says, I had the same thing happen, very similar. And she says, and it was all induced by a lot of stress that was in that moment. And she says, I think maybe that was the deal here. But she says, you know, I finally decided after several trips to North Platte with her vehicle and all this. And she says, you know, I was kind of stewing about, oh, should I have somebody coming with me? What if this happens again? And then she says, you know, I finally realized that I just needed to rest in the hands of God and know that I just need to live life well. And I can't sit and stress about if I'm going to have another episode, right? Just trust the Lord. She has peace with it. She says, that just gave me real peace to know that I'm just going to press on. And so now she flies off to the East Coast and the adventures that she's doing. And I think, oh, yeah, the peace that the Lord can give and not stressing and being overwhelmed in these moments. And that's where she has come to. And I just thought, oh, what a neat example. And I just appreciated her sharing that with me. But peace, the peace that the Lord can give us that the world knows nothing about. Jesus did not come to bring peace to earth. You know, we sing those songs, but he didn't come to bring peace to earth as the world thinks of peace. It's interesting, it tells us in Matthew 10:34 through 36, he says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. What's it talking about here? What happens is when people come to a saving knowledge of him and how there becomes, and we were just talking about the world looks at those who know Jesus and there is hatred and animosity there coming from that way. It should not come from our side. It should not come from the side of a follower of Christ. We should not have hatred and animosity towards the world. But the world certainly does towards those who are saved. And Kirk Cameron, living through that it doesn't make any sense, does it, from our perspective? And yet it does make total sense because they're lost. They don't have peace. They don't have joy. And so there's going to be conflict because what Christ does in our heart is something that they know nothing of. Right? And so he is longing for us to understand clearly what is taking place because of his coming and with his coming. Well, peace. We read these verses already. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Philippians 4:7, I love this passage, 4 through 8, but as it says in 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Do you understand when it says the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus? This peace that comes that is so complete and amazing. How is that possible when we live in a world that is so broken and messed up? Where do we get our peace from? As we follow along in the outline, if you choose to, where do we get our peace from? Christ is our peace. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Where does our peace come from? Our peace comes from the one who created us, who designed us, who created us for a purpose, and who loved us so much that he was willing to step out of his rightful place of heaven, a perfect place, stepped out of heaven, came to earth for the purpose to bring peace within us again. When Jesus came, did he bring peace? Oh, the world hated him, and they hated him so much they crucified him. There was hatred and brokenness all around, and yet who Jesus was and how he went through that journey is a beautiful display of what he longs for you and me to live our lives, walking through the journey of all kinds of chaos and brokenness, but have peace. And he came that we might get to experience the peace that he has and can only come through him, which is through forgiveness of sin, holiness, righteousness, purity through Christ, that we might get to experience that peace again, brought back into a right relationship. Our peace comes from him. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. My friends, the peace that you and I enjoy or should be enjoying is something that was made possible because of Christ and Christ alone. It's not dependent upon us. It is dependent upon what he has done and what he is longing for us to then experience day in and day out. And I truly have no excuse to not walk in that peace. I get it. The flesh is weak, and we do struggle, and we go through moments. But Lord, will you be quick to get me back to understanding and remembering where it is that I'm going to find this peace, this joy, this hope, this love that we've been talking about? It's only found through you. And you are capable, Lord, of giving me everything that I need to take me through that journey with that peace and that joy. And we have peace with God through justification by faith, Romans 5:1. So he is our peace, and we have that peace with God through justification by faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification, M.G. Easton's definition of justification, I thought this was good, a forensic term opposed to condemnation. As regards its nature, it is the judicial act of God by which he pardons all the sins of those who believe in Christ. Again, the only ones that will be justified, the only ones who will be brought into peace relationship with Christ, has nothing to do with world peace, has everything to do with spiritual peace through Christ and what he has offered to us. And it's only found through him. And accounts, accepts and treats them as righteous in the eye of the law. We've been justified by God while we were so broken and screwed up and contrary and sinners against him. And yet he justifies us and brings us into right relationship with him. This peace that we hear about and that we sing about truly, or that we worship at this time of the year with Christ coming, is a peace that is so powerful. It is a peace that is so amazing that you and I should be experiencing day in and day out, that we cling to and we find great, great comfort. Biblical peace that should be displayed through our lives. Oh Lord, will you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and the commitment, the courage to believe that what you have come to do for us, it's ours, and we embrace it and we live it and we share it, and we let you, Lord, do what you can only do through our lives. The law is not relaxed or set aside, but it is declared to be fulfilled in the strictest sense. And so the person justified is declared to be entitled to all the advantages. Think about this. This is going back to this that reminder that Randy said about in the book, right? Treasuring all that God has given to us and the joy and the peace that should just overflow in our lives, declared to be entitled to all the advantages and rewards us arising from perfect obedience to the law. Well, we know that we aren't going to live out it perfectly, but what Christ has done was perfect and complete and has been made whole and has made it possible for us then to now be found in this place of being justified before Him, and we can now experience His peace completely. What are the results of this peace? Philippians 4:7. We could look at many verses regarding this, but I love what Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It guards your heart and your mind. Lord, will you help me? When we find that our minds are consumed with doubts and confusion and our hearts are full of stress and anxiety, Lord, will you help me to remember what it is that you have offered to me? It's mine to be had now, is this peace that brings something I can't even describe it. It says it transcends all understanding. Lord, will you help me? This isn't for the future. This isn't for heaven. This is for now. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He wants that for us now, to rest in His peace. We have several things that we receive then with this peace. So internal peace. We have internal peace. We have peace of mind. The soul finds rest in the counsel of God's word and the truth of who He is, right? We find rest and peace in knowing the God that created us and what He gave to us. It's true. And we can count on it. And He has allows the Spirit of God to come and dwell within us. It brings the Spirit of God. In the moment of salvation, we come, that He comes and indwells within us, and we now have peace within us. It's not just out there, it's in us. Internal peace. We have peace of mind. The soul finds great rest. Well, Isaiah 6:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." So the moments that I go in life when I am not experiencing peace, the peace of God in the moment, I have to personally come to a recognition that I'm allowing lies and deception ultimately to take over, or to take precedence in my mind and in my heart, to keep me from enjoying that, because He is the truth, He is the way, and I need to believe that. I need to believe what His word says. I need to believe what He has done for me. Is that a process? Does it take us moments? Sure it does. I get that. We need to, it's not natural. It's not of our natural flesh, natural being, to be there. But because we have the presence of the Spirit of God in us, the living Spirit of God within us to draw us to Himself and to experience His peace, oh Lord, will you help me to rest there? We have peace in our affections, feelings. There is contentment and satisfaction. contentment and satisfaction in what? In our stuff? In what we have, in our high position, or whatever? No. No, we find our contentment and our satisfaction in Him. What He has done for me, what He has offered for me, what He has given to me, it is mine. And He says, will you now treasure it and live it out? Our conscience is at peace when we walk in obedience and fellowship with the Lord. When we choose to walk in fellowship, I want to, Lord, when will you help me to embrace what you say is true, to believe what you say is true, and what you have done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do in the future, will you help me to embrace those things? And in that, I will experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. God didn't put that in the 4:7, Philippians 4:7, in His Word to just sound good. If He put it there, do we believe that He means it for us? Of course He does. Can we have it? Yes, we can. A peace that transcends all understanding. And we are invited to experience it and to treasure it. And it comes through a relationship with Christ. This peace that we now have with Him, we're no longer an enemy of Him, but we've been justified and been, all of that has been removed, and we have the sin, and we have now been brought into right relationship with Him. Not because of what we've done, but because of what all He has done for us. Our conscience is at peace when we walk in obedience and fellowship with the Lord. This is so important for then living out the external, this reality of the external peace that we can have. We have external peace. I've mentioned it before, and I pray, this is my heartbeat. I never want to have an individual in my life that I do not have peace with them. I don't care who they are. I really do. I ask them for the Lord to give me a mindset and an understanding about the individual. Lord, I want to be able to walk up to anybody. I don't care what our past has looked like. I don't care what has been in the situation. Lord, will you give me a love for the individual or the circumstance, whatever is going on, that I do not have a conscience that is working against me because I have a wrong thought or a view of the individual. If I have done what I'm supposed to do of asking for forgiveness, keeping my heart pure before God, and desiring to do what is right, I can't fix maybe what has happened in the past or whatever. It can't be fixed, but I know that I can forgive, and I know that I can see them through the eyes of Christ. We honestly should be able to live as followers of Christ with His help, with external peace in the day-to-day living of life. We are at peace with all people. To be at peace with all people. Wow. How in the world is that possible? It's only possible through seeing people through the eyes of God. And I think I have to be challenged with that day in and day out. How is it that my Savior, my Lord, looks at those who are so screwed up and messed up in their thinking, and I was once that individual, and can find myself, if I don't stay tethered to the truth, I can find myself going there myself. But then I want to come back to the truth of what does God say? What is true about what He says and how He acts and responds to me? His faithful to an unfaithful person. His faithfulness. And how I want so desperately to be able to do that. Lord, will you give me the courage and the strength to see people through your eyes that I might be at peace with my enemies? He tells us, right? To love your enemies. Jesus gives us love even to our enemies. Walk in step with the Lord. Walking in step with the Lord We walk in humility, in calmness, and holiness. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We should be an example of that as a body of believers, a group of people who, out of a pure heart, wanting to have the mind of Christ and to see things His way, to respond to people in His way. Lord, will You give us a love, a compassion, a desire to treasure and to care for those who desperately need peace. They need joy, they need hope, and they only can find it through You. I hope you're catching on to the common theme of each of the weeks we've looked at. With each of these, you can only have these characteristics with the presence of Christ in you. And the world knows nothing of it. And the Lord is longing for His church, the body of Christ, to display it beautifully. Lord, will You give us the courage to do so? And will You help us to start here, to love each other, to love the body of Christ, who is of one mind, has a pure heart and a right mind of, we want to glorify and honor You alone, Lord. Start with us right here. Help us to display that amongst each other. And then, Lord, will You then use us to make a difference in the world around us, whether at work or at play or whatever, at home, wherever we are. Lord, will You give us a tender spirit and a heart of peace. Peace with You and peace with others. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He doesn't give peace as the world does. It doesn't matter our circumstances. He never promised that we're going to be at peace with our neighbors, and our neighbors are going to love us. They're going to love everything that we do, and we're going to love everything. That's not what he says. No, you find My peace and My rest, not only with Him, but then with others, because of the peace that God gives to us, our assurance, the hope that I have, that it's more than about what I want, but it's about what He wants and what glorifies Him. And He wants us to love our enemies. He wants us to care for those in need. We are at peace with God. We're at peace with all people. We're at peace with God. It is a perfect peace. John 14:27. It's an unbroken peace. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. It's not something that can be broken. God's taking care of it. He has victory over it. Okay? You're going to face trial and tribulation in this world, but take heart. I've overcome this. My hope, your hope is found in Me and what I have done for you. Lord, will You give me that view of the peace that You long for me to have and to see You clearly? It is an eternal peace. It's forever. The peace that God offers to us is not, again, something that comes and goes. It is for sure. It's eternal. When we accept Christ as Savior, the peace of God comes and indwells within us, and it is there forever. It's mine. It's ours. The covenant-making God is eternal. We can count on it and treasure it. And it is a heavenly peace. The peace that you and I are enjoying today, or should be enjoying today, is the same peace that we're going to experience in heaven. Why? Again, it's not dependent upon circumstances. It's not dependent upon the world around us. It's dependent upon Him. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same here, now, while we're here on earth. And He is the same when we're in heaven. So this peace that we're offered, it's something Scripture tells us that it's forever. And it's a beautiful picture of what we're going to, in reality, of what we're going to experience in eternity. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself